The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences.
TBS, America's number one independent television network, presents the following sports exclusive.
You're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports.
Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes.
And check out every episode of the show at basicallysports.tumblr.com.
Now here's your hosts, Zach,
Greg,
Mike.
And this is Andy, and you're listening to Basically a Sports Show.
Greetings, boys.
Hello.
Hey, one and all, to these United States of America.
And more or less.
I think to open up, I think Andy and I and Mike, who is already here, I think it'd be for us to just clear the floor and let Greg bask in the never-ending loop of Cleveland Rocks.
I wish we had the soundboard because I would be playing that thing to death right now, but I don't. The soundboard just disappeared. I go to it now and it says you're trying to author or to enter an unauthorized blah blah blah. And I'm like, okay, fine. But what a night for my Cleveland Browns. I don't know even know what to say. All the things I expected to happen last night, what I saw wasn't any of them. It was amazing. That's all I can say. It's been a long, long time, guys.
A team that hadn't been in that position since 2002, they hadn't been to the playoffs.
Right.
And hadn't won a playoff game since 94.
Right.
And their head coach was out due to COVID. And they were playing the team that they just played last week, but barely beat their backup quarterback. And they had their top two cornerbacks out. And every reason in the world for this to just be, we're happy we're here, and it's another Cleveland Browns loss to the Steelers in Pittsburgh. And yet, 28-0 after the first quarter?
Yes.
Yeah, surreal.
The last time a team scored 28 points in the first quarter of a playoff game was yesterday.
The only time, yeah.
Yeah.
and that includes the only game that people could compare this to, at least early on, was this historic, 1930 playoff game between the Bears and Washington that was like 73-0.
Yeah, right? That was a championship game, yeah.
Yeah, that was the only comparable game for a majority of the scoreline until the Steelers started to come back. But like, you're right, Greg. I don't know if there's words to even put together because none of us, I mean, I think we pick – Who picked the Browns? You did, Greg, for loyalty's sake. I didn't
believe it for a second. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Greg both picked the Browns.
Okay, Andy.
Andy picked the Browns for maybe legit reasons. I didn't. I was mm-hmm. like, I'm just doing it because I'm a Browns fan.
No, I picked the Browns because, how many times do you get an opportunity to choose the Browns in a playoff game? You know,
so in the last 30 years, too.
Yeah. Right. So last week the picks were so Zach and Greg both finished 4-2. Well done. Mike was even 3-3, and me. I took some chances. I was the only one to pick the Seahawks in the 32s, and I paid for that. We all picked the Titans, and that was a bad call. Zach was the only one that picked the Saints. So
because I had a brain and remember that they had Mitch Trubisky.
I'm really sorry that you guys had to watch that.
The game was terrible, but I got to tell you, I loved the Nickelodeon broadcast. I thought it was
awesome. That was the only thing that made that game palatable.
Yeah.
Like, that was an awful-ass football game. Like, not even just from the Bears side of things. Like, the Saints were trash.
They were giving the game away. It was just bad TV. And the Nickelodeon stuff, it was interesting. But that's what made, with the Bears being just such a pile of shit, it was nice to see the Browns. Like, I was kind of like footballed out by the time the Browns were playing, but I just kind of was watching on the NFL app and was like, holy shit, like, look at these guys. They're just taking a dump on the Steelers. And I mean, it just didn't stop. I mean, the Steelers have owned the Browns. I mean, I can't even think of what the history is the last 20 years.
Well, you know, what's funny about that, too, is that they talked about the Browns haven't won in Pittsburgh in 17 years. Well, before the original Browns, had never won in Three River Stadium until I think 1986. So it was like 17 years then too. This is like the Steelers owning the Browns in Pittsburgh has been a thing my whole life. I can't remember a time when they didn't, when it wasn't a miracle if we won a game there. And so let's see what happened last night. And the thing that cracked me up, I did not know this until after the game. One of the offensive linemen, Baker Mayfield, met before they went out on the field.
The post-game interview was great. I met some guy named Blake
before the game,
and that guy was in the offensive lineup. The offensive line coach was just some, like...
It could have been more about standing there.
The equivalent of, like, a graduate assistant who had to take over the O-line position for the night. And the Browns kept losing O-linemen, and that guy looked like he was a deer in the headlights or something. It was just like the most insane set of circumstances, and of course that's how the Browns did it. They didn't do it in like, oh, it was a hard fought game where it was best on best and we edged them out with a game winner at the buzzer. No, it was the weirdest game of the weekend in so many ways.
The Browns stumbled into Pittsburgh with half the coaching staff not there. Some dude that could have been one of us coaching the offensive line. The special teams coach is the head coach. Yeah. Baker Mayfield's meeting offensive linemen literally right before the game starts, and they kick the shit out of the Steelers.
The only thing that would have made that game weirder is if they had slime end zones. That would have been
awesome.
If that game was the Nickelodeon game, that would be the only thing to make that game better than it was. It was incredible.
It was a lot of fun, and
as we said in our chat, it's a damn good thing they did it this year rather than last year. That they look like a football team.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it would have been awful if we had to watch them play in those fucking clown suits from last year to do this. Like I said last night, it would have been 60% less fun for me because I just, you know, I think I said this back when they switched the uniforms. I said, you know, it was hard for me to get used to having the quote unquote new Browns. And the one thing that held me in was they looked like the Browns, the original Browns. And when they took that away, I'm like, well, now I'm just rudderless here. You know, I don't know what to think. But, oh, my God, it was just so much fun. Mike is here. Let's add him in.
Sorry, guys. I was actually home in time to be on time, but, well, Mexican for dinner, and I'll let you figure out what the rest
is.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us. That's way more information than we needed.
Well, you know, I left out the details.
Was it the slime zone there, Mike?
Oh, God. Here we go.
Oh, God. No. The slime zone was reserved for Mitch Trubisky, the MVP, as it were.
What a great exclamation point to his shitty career. a troll award.
I would have loved if, because of some like league contract, that he would have actually had to get the interview and be slimed after a loss. Like,
did he accept a stupid trophy?
No, of course not. They talked to they finally managed to get a saint in the top three of the online voting. So they talked to Cameron Jordan instead. But I would have loved if Mitch Trubisky has this awful-ass game and he goes over to talk to some, like, C-level Nickelodeon personality. And this kid's like, oh, hey, man, wow, this is amazing. And then dumps a bucket of slime on his head.
I gotta give Sean Payton credit for being a good sport, for getting slimed. I thought that was pretty cool.
Sean Payton kept his word. Yeah, he said he would do it at the beginning of the week if they won, and then he did.
Yeah, I think that Mitch Trubisky getting the MVP was like that poll we talked about years ago on the show where Hitler was right or something was leading to be the new Mountain Dew name.
Oh, right.
Hitler did nothing wrong.
Yeah, it was one of those deals where I think people are just like, let's just really mess this up.
Clearly there was more people in Chicago watching this game, more Chicago kids watching this game than New Orleans kids.
I think it was a 4chan like troll thing to where basically just I guess it was an organized online thing just to troll the Bears.
Right, but there was mostly Bears like in the top three until the very last time when they're like, oh, Cameron Jordan now has 3%, so we're going to talk to him instead.
I wouldn't be surprised if they just
had like 60%. It was so funny.
The producers probably were like, fuck that. Get a saint. Just pick one and get a saint in the top three.
Yeah.
I mean, because not only was it ridiculous, but I don't think that it would have been very cool to have Trubisky come in after playing the game he'd played and go, oh, by the way, you won the MVP. It just would have been great for us because we at least Mike and I love that kind of shit. But
oh, yeah. Well, no, that would have been hilarious.
He still won it, so I hope that somebody gave him that stupid orange blimp with the
green slime. I hope someone gave him the blimp, and I hope that, like, it's listed forever. Like, I hope that that gets printed on every card.
Oh, it was immediately put on his Wikipedia page under accomplishments.
I mean, it is historic.
Yeah. Yeah,
first one. Yeah, I that game just made me dumber as a human and just having to endure the typical Bears just trash. This is a bad team and boring, hideously boring and dumb. Yeah. And thank God the Browns won because it just made me feel a lot better just to end the day seeing those awesome uniforms with the orange pants and
God, great matchup. They looked good, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, great matchup against the Steelers, too. And oh, man. It's just like, thank God. Good for them.
I mean, really, the game, as soon as they dropped that stupid trick play, like that was
done.
The Bears, right?
That guy should have just kept running, just get on some bus, take a taxi cab.
<Jimmy Graham>. But, you know, I mean, it was horrible football. I agree with that. But I have to say, though, with Nickelodeon, I thought that, like, if you're going for, like, trying to get young people to listen or watch, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great idea, but
I wish it was a better game because, like, the slime zone thing was fun, and we had, like, one touchdown through three quarters.
Yeah.
So you didn't get to see it all that much, but it was fun. But
I'll be honest, I don't think either one of those teams are that good. I don't think the Saints are very good either.
Saints are going to get their ass kicked next week.
With the way the your Buccaneers, Mike, are playing now.
Well, and I think Drew Brees is well past his expiration date.
Brees is past his expiration date, and the Saints continue to have this just are so enamored with Taysom Hill, and I do not get it. I don't get why they keep going to him. Like,
all I know is that the football team is no more, and Tom Brady led us to a God-blessed victory. Antonio Brown was...
They almost lost.
Antonio Brown was, quote, grateful to have caught a touchdown pass of Tom Brady in the postseason.
Screw that guy, man.
Hey, you know what? This is all wonderful. Mike Cleveland Brown stole the show. That's all I'm saying. They just stole the show. It was like that opening band that comes out and just kicks the shit out of the headliner. It was pretty fun.
Well, it was...
Well, they were recording an app, right? And they put the whole exclamation point on everything.
It kind of reminded me of the Super Bowl where the Seahawks beat the Broncos, right? Yeah. Where like it's like opening play, the Broncos fumble a snap and it's a safety, and then it's just downhill. The Steelers did come back and they did put up a bit of a fight later on in the game, but you know, That fumble on the first play of the game that led to a Browns defensive touchdown, that led to like 28 straight points. And I'm sorry, I don't care how good you are. You can't spot another team in the NFL 28 points right off the bat and expect to win.
No, the Steelers lost that game 100% on the shoulders of Ben Roethlisberger. Mm-hmm. Between the fumble, I mean, maybe the shotgun snap isn't totally his fault, but him looking at the ball on the ground and not really doing anything about it.
You thought that ball was going to explode the way they were acting around. It was like, we don't want anything to do with this. It was
the fumble becomes a touchdown. He throws three interceptions in the first quarter. Each one of them become touchdowns. He throws an interception later that becomes a field goal. So that's 31 points off of Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's more than enough to turn the tide in that game.
I know that, you know, people are saying he's going to come back for another year because he stands to make a lot of money if he does. But like Ben, you've already made more money than any of us are ever going to see. Like, you're set. Just go home. All right. Like you're done, man. You're done.
He just looks tired. He's been injured perpetually for going on like a decade now, it feels like. And
yeah,
I mean, he plays hurt, but it's just he can't move the same way. He looks even more like he's always kind of had that look of somebody who just like finished an all nighter and is like realized that he had a game. And so it's like, oh shit, I better like
finish an all nighter, harass a few women.
Right. Yeah. Sexual assault. And, you know, but if he retires, fine. You know, I think it's, what is he, 30? He's got to be close, 34, something like that, 35, if not a little older than that.
Yeah, maybe older than that. Zach, did you listen to the Bill Simmons podcast today? Because they brought up a really good point.
I did. The thing about his playoff record?
Yeah, I mean, when you really put the micro, I mean, look, he's had a Hall of Fame career. There's no way around
he's,
that.
He's 38.
You go back and look, what was it I forget what year they said it was.
He goes to the Super Bowl with the Steelers and loses to the Packers.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Since that Super Bowl that they lost to the Packers, the Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger are 3-7 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not, but you want to know what else happened in 2010, which is the year that they lost to the Packers in the Super Bowl. That was also the year of his suspension for sexual assault.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not the reason, but it's certainly like...
It's not the reason, but I could definitely see a situation where it's like, you know, a lot of stuff kind of piled up and maybe he just never got over it.
Yeah. Well, it's the start of a downfall, clearly. And it's not like they haven't had bad teams over those years. They just... They kept running into the Patriots, or they'd lose dumb games like this one. Like, they lost to Blake Bortles and the Jaguars, for goodness sake. Like,
mm-hmm. Well, and you know what else they brought up, too, was, and I didn't think about this, but his two Super Bowl performances weren't that – the wins weren't that great either. Yeah. I mean, you know, the Seahawks Super Bowl, that was a joke. And then, you know, he threw the pass to Santonio Holmes. But really, you go back and look at the numbers, and he wasn't doing a Brady or a Montana or, you know, whatever, one of those, or even a Nick Foles for that matter.
Well, I mean, are we discussing if he's like a Hall of Famer?
No, I don't think he is. I think he's a Hall of Famer, I think.
I think really? So, too. Yeah.
I mean, I think the Cardinals win that Super Bowl if Kurt Warner doesn't throw that pick six, but, yeah. You know.
No, but he's the quarterback of another successful Steelers run that had two Super Bowl wins, three Super Bowl appearances. Like, did he ever get an MVP? I don't think so.
I think that a lot of times you'll go, well, he won two Super Bowls, and that's got to be considered for. I don't know that the Super Bowls help his case so much as just his longevity does. He had a good career. I mean, I can't say that he's a bad quarterback because he's not, you know. No, but
and as his career went on, he actually became a better passer than he was early on, which is interesting because, I mean, the Steelers forever were the Steelers identity that we all know. Strong defense, run the ball physically, and then your quarterback can be good and do enough to get you more, and that's what he was. But he started putting up these 400, 500-yard passing games over the last, what, 5, 6, 7 years?
Yeah.
And it's been kind of impressive to see how the Steelers changed from a run-first team to a passing team. And he's obviously got to be the guy at the center of that. But it's also just kind of interesting to note that since that Super Bowl 10 years ago, they haven't done anything in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, the Steelers are not like they're one of those franchises that's always going to be either in the playoffs or like just outside of the playoffs. Like when was the last time they were like a top five pick? Even?
Right. We went over this, I think, 2 weeks ago or something.
Right.
Yeah. In the last 20 years, the lowest they've picked is 8th.
Right. So, I mean, it's, you know, if Ben retires, I mean, this draft in particular is not great for quarterbacks, but I mean, who knows? They're one of those franchises that just always finds a way. So, but I mean, like Ben on the sideline crying and stuff. And I don't know. If he comes back for another year, good for him. I don't know how common it is in football to do the whole retirement tour compared to like the NBA or like baseball, where it's just like, hey, this is my last ride. Applaud me at these different, you know, venues. But
he has 1 year left on his contract, so he it's not a thing where like he needs to sign a new deal or anything. I would think that the Steelers expect him to come back until he doesn't want to.
Okay,
well, I think one of you guys pointed out last night when we were texting that he, with all the emotion, it looked like this might be it. And I said, no, he'll be back. But after giving it some thought, I think that maybe that's why. He's lost enough playoff games, as we just talked about a second ago. where this shouldn't have been that heartbreaking to him. And everybody's like, well, maybe it's because of the Browns. Nah, the rivalry is not what it used to be in the old days. So I think maybe he was kind of – him and what's his name, Marquise Pouncey.
Yeah.
Sitting there. You know, that was kind of like a maybe a, hey, you know, it was a nice ride. We'll see you at reunions or whatever.
It's either that or something else that came up on that Simmons podcast was the thought that more than any of the other playoff losses that I can think of off the top of my head, this one is completely on him, right?
Yeah.
With all the interceptions and then the fumbles and all that. And it also doesn't help, like, again, it doesn't help that the Steelers were completely dismissive of the Browns. Like, you've heard the comments from, like, Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool, where, like, Juju's like, oh, the Browns is the Browns. And Chase Claypool, I think, on an Instagram Live, was like, yeah, it was a bad loss today, but it's the Browns. We'll clap them next week. And the Browns are like, oh, yeah? Yeah, okay, fine. We made our goal of making the playoffs for the first time in almost 20 years. We will just play it with our asses hanging out and go play for the whole damn
thing. I don't know. Juju Smith is becoming increasingly unlikable. Like,
I know all the Browns were doing his TikTok dance in the locker room.
Yep. Yeah. Well, we have a slate of four games to do our predictions for and discuss. Interesting matchups here for Saturday and Sunday. Let's see. So, Zach, you're going to once again have the Houston Texans Bowl here on Saturday.
Hey!
which is weird. Rams and Packers, that's a pretty premier matchup.
Yeah, you'd think they would have. You'd think they'd put that one on the late game. But
yeah, I think that's just a because it's not the wild card weekend, right? So it's kind of the same situation that you'd get any other divisional weekend where the seedings were already pretty much done, and you look at the other teams. What's is the Sunday night the Chiefs? What day are they?
No, Ravens Bills
are Sunday. Browns Chiefs are on Sunday, first game Sunday, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the Tampa Bay New Orleans is the premier game this week.
Yeah, the Sunday night game.
And that makes sense because that's Breeze and Brady and all that. So, of course, it's your last game of the week. You also get you put the Chiefs on Sunday.
What time is the Packers Rams game? Is that a 4 o'clock start or one?
I think they're
all like late starts now, aren't they? Like a late game, like a 4 o'clock and then a primetime game.
Yeah, there's no early game. It's three, afternoon and evening.
Yeah, 3:30 Central Time is on Saturday. On Sunday it's 2:05, which is fucking weird.
Really?
Yeah, so it's 2:05.
I can't process
Saturday.
Central Time in my head.
Yeah, so what
is that for the rest of the country?
So it'd be 3:05 Eastern
and 1:05 or no 12:05
noon Pacific.
Yeah.
And then Sundays
West. Yeah.
Yeah, and then Sundays 5:40 Central, 6:40 Eastern, and 3:40 Pacific.
That's weird. Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Those times are all weird. But yeah, I don't know why.
Well, the reason why is because Tom Brady and Drew Brees will both be getting real tired probably around 8 o'clock. They want to go to bed, so they want to get the game in before they get sleepy.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
Did you guys see this, that for the playoff games this year, the NFL is allowing 2 extra minutes of commercials per game?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like the way Audible Announcing handled that. They said, listening to the fans' demands, they've decided, okay, yes, we'll allow 2 more minutes of commercials. Because that's what we all wanted.
But to the games, I don't know why they made the Green Bay game earlier. I'm happy that it's earlier because I would rather not play at when it's going to be 12 degrees at night. So,
well, now don't forget, Zach, the sun goes down there at like 5 o'clock, so it's going to be cold out either way.
Yep, it'll be dark.
Sure.
It's going to be cold. Do you know what?
Be as bad as if it was a cold night.
Yeah, what abomination will the Rams be rolling out for this game?
They usually don't put that out until later in the week, but what I would assume, because they played so well in the first round, is that they would do the same thing again.
I think they're going with their parka alternates this time.
Well, say the Packers will be wearing the golden pants, so they'll probably do either bone on bone or bone on blue.
Right. They've only done bone on yellow, I think, once this year, and I think that was a game they lost. I don't know. You know what though? As much as I hate that stupid gradient stripe, I gotta say, I think bone on blue is my second favorite combo.
I'm just gonna repeat what Andy said, and that bargaining is one of the stages of grief.
The third stage, yes.
The third stage of grief.
Mm-hmm. Blue over yellow is the best combination, like bar none. Like that's just the best it could be. But bone over blue, I think bone over blue is better than bone over yellow. Despite
the convincing problem. Himself. That's pretty funny.
Stockholm syndrome happening.
No. It's like when you do the rankings of the Star Wars movies, right? And it's like, and you have certain, like maybe you have some things lower. Yeah, it's that's really low. But it's like it is what it is because of the things around it. That's not.
But Zach, you're doing Star Wars rankings, and you're taking out the original three and like ranking everything else. Like that's how you're doing. There's nothing good here.
No, the original three aren't available to me in this ranking, is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Of what they have, this is the best that they can put out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you're basically, when you're looking at the Rams uniform sets, you're basically trying to choose your favorite part of Attack of the Clones.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically.
Okay. I like the part where Obi-Wan goes to the cloning facility and dicks around for 15 minutes.
I like the part when he files his taxes and then smokes a cigarette.
That procedural stuff, 25 minutes in the Senate, was pretty good, too.
Just sidebar. You knew the Star Wars prequels were fucked when the first 30 seconds of the movie was just a scroll discussing Star taxes.
Yeah, space taxes, right?
It's like, fuck me.
And it's oh.
I should have got up and left right then. I should have went, you know what? Yeah, this is going to be bad. Let's just not bother. But I didn't.
1999, we didn't know any better.
Let's see if we can go do a roundtable of our picks for this game, and we'll move on. So, Mike, you are first on the ballot. Who do you have for Rams-Packers?
Rams-Packers, okay. My heart says Rams, but it's just that the Rams have been very inconsistent this season. Like, they've looked like world beaters some weeks, and then they go out and lose to the Jets the next week. So, like if the Rams played like they did last, if they played like they did against the Seahawks, they could beat Packers easily, I think. But I'm not really convinced they can do that. And you've got heel turn pissed off Aaron Rodgers on the other side. So I want the Rams to do well and I want them to succeed, but I'm going to have to go with the, the smart money's on Aaron Rodgers. So, Packers.
Okay. Greg?
Well, being a owner of the Green Bay Packers, I have no choice but to root for the Green Bay Packers. You know, it's funny. My girlfriend asked me today, she goes, what are you going to do if the Browns and the Packers end up in the Super Bowl? I said, well, that's easy. I said, it's easy. I root for the Browns all the way. I mean, that's not even a question with me. But I said, but it'll be a nice consolation prize because if they lose and the Packers win, I still get a shareholder Super Bowl ring, so I'm fine either way. But no, Packers all the way. The weather is going to be, I'm sure, I don't know, something.
As of now, the weather says high of 25, low of like 14.
Partly cloudy. I'm so glad I'm in Florida.
10% chance.
Midwestern weather in January, not a fun time.
But it's not going to be like, it's not going to be snowing. It'll just be kind of cold.
What's the story? What's this quarterback situation with the Rams, Zach?
Unclear. So John Wolford came back into the locker room to celebrate with everybody. It sounds like it was just like a stinger.
Okay.
Because he got hit, shoulder pad directly on the helmet. But it wasn't a concussion. His neck was hurt a little bit, but probably just stiff more than anything else. They took him to the hospital as like a precaution, but he should be – he could play. He could not. And then, Jared Goff, despite having that surgically repaired thumb, didn't play terribly. Like, he didn't turn the ball over, which is like the best that you can hope from Jared Goff with a broken thumb.
I'll just say that I'm not betting against Aaron Rodgers against Jared Goff in Lambeau. So Packers all the way for me.
Zach?
So here's my thought process. And, of course, I'm going to be a homer and pick the Rams. But I'm doing it with statistics on my side.
Oh.
The Rams have the number one scoring defense. And they're going up against the number one scoring offense. And more often than not, the scoring defense typically wins those matchups. And I think what the Rams can do in particular is you're going to get Jalen Ramsey on Devontae Adams. Now, Jalen Ramsey shut down DK Metcalf again yesterday. This season, in three matchups against the Seahawks, when he's lined up against Jalen Ramsey, DK Metcalf had 11 targets for 4 receptions and 44 yards and no touchdowns. If Jalen Ramsey can do the same thing to Devontae Adams, that's far and away Aaron Rodgers' most prolific target, his favorite target, and the thing that kind of makes the Packers that extra level. If Jalen Ramsey can shut him down, and then you got that pass rush that the Rams have, and the rest of the defense, like Aaron Donald is going to be fine. He's going to play. He's day to day. He'll be fine.
Oh, great.
So I think if the Rams defense showed up like it did last week, this is a team that can do pretty much anything, especially if they can score a touchdown like they did as well. The concern, of course, is the offense. But I think, again, if they game plan this correctly and Jared Goff, if he does play, just doesn't do anything stupid, almost him with the thumb makes him slightly more efficient because he's not he knows he's limited, so he's not going to force things where he doesn't need to force them. He can, like, play a little bit smarter. And they found a running attack with Cam Akers. So all things considered, it's going to be a tight game, I think. I don't think it'll be a blowout, but Rams in a tight one in the cold.
So the answer to making Jared Goff better is to injure him.
Well, hey, whatever works, man.
Honestly, yes. Because like when he's 100% healthy, he's going to do some dumb stuff. But if he's limited and he knows he's limited, he's not going to do anything stupid. In theory. So.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah. My
confidence in the Rams is purely based on how good that defense is.
Look,
goddamn, the defense is good.
Zach, you came in with some stats, but Kevin Cash came into the World Series with stats, and we all saw how well that worked out for everyone.
Well, I'm not going to pull the defense in the third quarter.
Sure, you don't want to try that.
Well,
I've got some breaking news here, by the way.
Okay.
Bill Belichick will not be traveling to Washington, nor will he accept the Presidential Medal of Freedom from Adam Schefter. So,
yeah, that would have been some pretty bad optics at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
Oh, Andy, who do you like in Packers-Rams?
I'm going with the Packers. I would choose the Rams if Aaron Donald was healthy, but he's got a bad rib injury he's going to play through. And rib injuries are sons of bitches, and I don't see him being terribly effective. I think he's Aaron Donald is I will never forget Aaron Donald because the Bears were like right. It was like they were 15th. The Rams were picking 14th. And it was one of those situations to where if everyone was just hoping the Rams would take anyone else so that the Bears could take Aaron Donald. And then Aaron Donald goes and the Bears, I think, traded back because it was just like, fuck, like he was right there. So I'll never forget that Aaron Donald he's a monster of a man. He's just a demon, but
a truck.
Absolutely. But I mean, but when your ribs are fucked up, I mean, you can't twist, you can't do your swim moves. But I mean, anything, you basically are just there to occupy and maybe help with the run game, but you're not going to be able to do the full extent. And, I mean, I've seen enough of Aaron Rodgers to know he's on a mission this year. I think we actually might get a really interesting Super Bowl matchup of Packers and Chiefs to kind of replicate the first Super Bowl. And I think the Packers are like, I think Rodgers is going for number two. I hate that fucker. I hate Aaron Rodgers, but he's going to get – he's too damn good. Next matchup is one we all got wrong. Ravens beat the Titans. We all picked the Titans. We're all idiots. And they will be taking on the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo. And Mike, who do you have for this matchup?
I'm really happy to see that Lamar Jackson kind of got over that playoff hump, because I think he is legitimately a very talented guy, and I thought that, you know, it sucked that he kind of developed this reputation for choking a big game. So the fact that he got over that, won a playoff game, especially against the team that knocked him out last year, really good. But I'm going with the Bills. I think that the Ravens have, you know, the Ravens have a record that's not, you know, it's not nothing to necessarily sneeze at. But a lot of those wins came against weaker teams, and the Bills have kind of just been on a roll. So I think Buffalo wins.
I agree with Mike on that. I think that the Ravens are, they're dangerous, but they're kind of like the Titans. Everybody's like, the Titans are really good. Well, who have the Titans beaten this year that was good? Mm-hmm. And the Ravens beat the Browns twice, so it's not like that they haven't beaten anybody. But I just think the Bills are, probably the closest thing we're going to have to a real challenge to the Chiefs if we have one at all. So I got to go with the Bills. I just think, hey, Josh Allen's playing well. They're in Buffalo. They're going to have some fans there. That'll help. And I don't know what the weather's going to be in Buffalo, but it might be a blizzard. So who knows?
Well, if there's a blizzard in Buffalo, I'm picking the Bills doubly over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it starts snowing up there like in the last week of September and doesn't stop until the first week of August. So anything's possible. But yeah, I got to go with the Bills on this. I think the Bills and the Chiefs are on a collision course. So my pick is the Buffalo Bills.
Zach?
Here's.
I'm going to go jump off a table.
Yeah.
Everyone is kind of giving the, Lamar Jackson got the monkey off his back, won a playoff game. I'm going to make a thought here that I'm not going to give that to Lamar Jackson just yet. Because, yes, he played well. He threw for over 100 yards. He threw for 179 yards. He rushed for 136 yards. Only quarterback.
Zach is a tough crowd.
No, hold on. Because
no, but I agree with
you. Here's my thought. I don't know if the Ravens won this. I mean, clearly the Ravens won, but the Ravens won not necessarily because of how good Lamar Jackson played. He played fine. They won because their defense shut down Derrick Henry, and they won because Mike Vrabel's an idiot.
Fair.
Like that punt that they have, they're down seven, there's 10 minutes left. The Ravens had moved the ball pretty well on their previous drive. In the postgame, Vrabel said, I was confident our defense stopping him. It's like, dude, they just tore you up in the last drive. What the hell are you talking about? So on third down, third and two, Derrick Henry's on the sideline. I know he hasn't had a good game, but you probably still want to have your best player on the field on a short down yardage like that. They throw it to the outside. It's broken up. So now it's fourth and two. You're at the 40. The way this game is going, it's probably best that you just go for it rather than let the Ravens score again or take time off the clock or do whatever. So again, Derrick Henry on the sideline, they punt the ball, and then the Ravens go down and do what they do. So Lamar Jackson played fine. He didn't impress me to the point of like, oh yeah, clearly that Chargers game is behind him and that other Titans game is behind them. I think the defense did a good job of containing Derrick Henry, and Mike Vrabel had a brain fart to win a tight game against a not great Tennessee team. So all that said, Buffalo is a better team than Tennessee is. Their defense didn't play as good as it could against the Colts, but I think that's something that can bounce back. Josh Allen's been great. It'll clearly be a duel between Allen and Jackson, but I like the Bills.
Well, speaking of that Colts-Bills game, too, I think that the Colts, when they can be really good, their problem has been consistency. Like, you'll see them play a really good game like that against the Bills and turn around the next week and just be terrible against someone else. But I think when they're good, they're solid. I mean, I think they could beat anybody. And that's I'm not going to knock the Bills' defense so much. I just think the Colts just played a really good game that day.
And on the Colts – well, here, Andy, do your pick, and then we'll have something to say.
Yeah, no, Bills, basically. I think Bills, Josh Allen and the Bills are – they got something special cooking in Buffalo. I'll take them.
Yeah. So the Colts Frank Reich said that he wants to have Phillip Rivers on the team again next year, or at least maybe that's just what he's saying publicly, but that's what he said. Phillip Rivers, that Hail Mary attempt, if you're going to do a Hail Mary, you got to get to the end zone, right?
Yeah.
That was great.
Not a good last ditch effort.
Phil's up there in age, and I like Phillip Rivers. I've been, ride or die with Phillip Rivers for a number of years. I think it's time to admit that it's over, and I'll just say I think Phillip Rivers is going to go down as one of the best quarterbacks to ever win a Super Bowl. So
yeah, I mean it's that whole QB class. Like Eli Manning finally retired last year, right?
Yeah.
And now Big Ben was to be on his way out, so why shouldn't Phil be right there with him?
Right.
I mean, he does have 17 mouths to feed, so I understand. But,
but yeah, I think it's Bills all the way in this one. So, all right, what's the next game, man? What's the next game?
Yeah, we're on to Browns and Chiefs here in the Sunday games.
Oh, boy.
Browns and Chiefs. Starting with Mike.
Oh, Browns. I mean, after seeing the way that the Browns played, I'm kind of tempted to just ride them. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, and maybe this was just Greg's pessimism getting to me, but, like, the Browns kind of let their foot off the gas there for a moment. Thankfully, they knew when to reapply the gas and finish off the Steelers instead of letting the Steelers kind of complete the comeback. But still, the Chiefs are just really, really good. And I think that Cleveland has a lot to be proud of how the season went, how these playoffs went so far. But unfortunately, as much as I would hate to see the Browns run end, I think this is the final stop. It's going to be Chiefs winning.
Okay.
Well, I went total homer pick last week, but now I'm in this thing to win it. I got to go with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Browns, here's the thing, the Browns have a puncher's chance in this game. The Chiefs have trouble stopping the run. If the Browns can somehow find a way to utilize Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb and keep Mahomes off the field and somehow find a way to maybe stop him from scoring, I don't know, twice in the game, then maybe. But that it's just going to take the confluence of events for the Browns to win this game because the Chiefs are just so good. And I've watched them so many times this year where it's just like if Mahomes wants to score a touchdown, they go, ah, you know what? We need six. And they get it. And the Browns defense has got some issues with the secondary and all that. So as much as I would love to pick my Cleveland Browns, and I'll be rooting for them all the way, but I don't see them winning this game. They're playing on house money. They did all they wanted, you know, what we wanted them to do this year, get in the playoffs, win a game. They've done that. Anything after this is gravy. So I'm going to finish game.
I mean, fun fact, I picked this up from SF Giants 58, who informed me that currently, now with the Browns playoff victory, the Browns have more playoff wins in the last 25 years than either the Bengals or the Lions. So,
wow, well, that's one to zero, yeah.
So, congratulations, Browns. But seriously, jokes aside, the Browns have a lot to be proud of, especially the way this season started, right? Where they game one was they just got their shit kicked in by Baltimore, and you're just like, oh no. But they have put together a really impressive season. They were hanging tight with the Steelers right until the final few weeks, and then they beat them in the playoffs. So. You know, if they go down swinging against Kansas City, which I suspect they will, then there's nothing to be ashamed of. So
no, I know. I mean, it is, you know, I don't even care if they get blown out by Kansas City. I mean, at this point, I did make one prediction though. I said, if they beat the Chiefs, they're punching their ticket to wherever the Super Bowl is going to be this year. Tampa. Oh,
so,
I think, right?
Yeah. It's Tampa. So you're saying,
oh my God.
Yeah. So you're saying that if they beat the Chiefs, then they can beat either Baltimore or Buffalo?
Yeah, I'm telling you, right, if the Browns, by some miraculous thing, beat the Chiefs, they're going all the way to the Super Bowl.
That's actually really interesting that you say that, and I will expand on why later. So,
okay.
Yeah, I agree that if the Browns could. I think the Browns have a better shot against both the Ravens and Bills if they were playing them this week. Before I go into it, just to highlight this excellent stat by Tracy21 here in the chat, that over the last 4 years, the Jacksonville Jaguars have more playoff wins than the NFC West champion now sitting at home with their hats and T-shirts, Seattle Seahawks.
So, as always, fuck Russell Wilson. That's all I have to say about it.
Yeah, I am curious. Yeah. How did letting Russ Cook go?
Well, he burnt it. He burnt it to the oven.
Yeah.
He got sent home.
Yeah.
That was glorious to watch. Like, look.
So good. And just like
watching Russell Wilson.
2 weeks ago and clinched the NFC West, and they were all being digging their britches about it, and then we beat them on the same goddamn field. Oh, this is so good. But for this game, I agree, Greg, that I think the Browns have a puncher's chance. If only because, yes, the Chiefs are the number one seed, but hasn't it felt like the Chiefs have kind of sleptwalked through this entire season?
Yeah, but I think
kind of waiting to get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that's the reason, though. I mean, we've talked about it. I don't know how many times over the years on this show and on the old football show. It's sometimes when you can't just turn it on and off, and sometimes you try to do that. Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like either they have, like we used it for years when we would talk about the Chicago Blackhawks, Andy, where it's like they were just kind of like run through this and then you play them in the playoffs, and all of a sudden it's like, the hell.
Yeah, like, you know, Duncan Keith would do something and then they score five goals and that'd be it. You know, it was just like they had the switch they could flip, the Blackhawks did.
Oh, also, I just caught up on the chat now. So just giving a hi to Wapoon Island, who said hi to me. So how you doing?
Okay.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think the Browns have a chance because of the sleepwalking, but I can't. Despite how good they looked last week, I can't. Am I right?
No.
Not the Chiefs.
It would be
the Chiefs are the best team. When they play how they're supposed to play, they are the best football team assembled in the National Football League. Like they should win another Super Bowl without even thinking about it too hard.
Right.
But we'll see what happens when they actually strap on the pads.
And you know, too, for a fact that they all saw what happened last night. The Browns are not going to surprise them with anything. That's just not going to happen.
Right. And who knows? Maybe the Browns showed too much in putting up so many points. So who knows? But
if the Browns were better, another thing, too, that plays to the Browns' favor, the Chiefs can't run the ball, and the Browns are terrible against the run. So, you know, I don't know if that helps or hurts, but yeah, they got a puncher's chance, but that's about it.
Or does it just mean that the Browns give up a lot of yards on the ground to a shitty run game?
That's the thing. You don't know. So, you know, if I had to say, like, the Chiefs can't run against a good run defense, but against a bad one, they'd probably be okay. Andy?
I think the Chiefs will win, but because I'm losing and I need to make some ground, I'm going to pick Browns. Just because that way, if the Browns do win, then it's a huge coup for me. No, they're probably going to lose. But fuck
Andy,
it, Browns.
Playing by Price is Right rules.
Andy, I will send you $7 American if the Browns win after your pick.
That's legal U.S. currency.
That's right. A 5-2-1s. I will send it to you.
Final game of the weekend is the evil, narcissistic, rotten Buccaneers.
Antonio Brown was blessed to catch a touchdown pass from Tom Brady. So I'll have you know.
You know what? I hope we play your Buccaneers in the Super Bowl.
Oh! Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, Baker Mayfield kicks the shit out of Tom Brady.
Is that how you think that would go?
Well, I could hope.
Right? Something that like came across my Twitter feed today. Of the four AFC quarterbacks left, Baker Mayfield is the oldest among the four of them.
Really?
Which makes me feel like a dinosaur.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah, I know.
Kid's old enough to be my son, man. You don't have to be my kid. Come on.
But no, the reason why I thought it was interesting, Greg, that you said that if the Browns can somehow manage to top the Chiefs, then they're punching their ticket. I like the Bucks' chances to make it to the Super Bowl if they can slay the dragon that is the Saints. Because, you know, they've already proven that they can beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Yeah, well, and then some.
Yeah, they kicked his ass after he did his stupid little Dutch touchdown dancing. So and then, you know, the Rams played the Bucks really, really well, but it was a close game, and Tom Brady would be out for vengeance. So
I hate what you've become, Michael.
My new empire. Oh God.
So,
but the uh, But yeah, I don't know. So Bucks Saints, that's the one, because last time they played, the Saints kicked their ass and it wasn't even close. So there's a lot to be concerned about, actually. You know, jokes aside, you look at it and you go, I really kind of wish the Bears had managed to pull a win out of their ass, because that would have made things better. But
I wish the Chiefs, I mean, maybe the Chiefs will, you know, finally, I don't want to wish COVID on anyone. That would be an awful thing.
But, you know, Andy, your fucking Bears had to lay a wet fart out there, and God damn, thanks.
I'm just great. If they did win, they'd have to play the Packers again, and nobody wants that. I mean, well, the Packers won, but I don't want that.
I'd take it.
But no. No, team enough.
That would have been pretty rough.
but you know, I'm just gonna be a homer about it. Bucks over the Saints. But my justification for being a homer is that, you know, this is the third time that they're going to be playing, and I think, you know, it's hard to beat the same team three times in a single season. Not only that, but, you know, the Bucks offense seems to be settling into a groove. My big concern is the defense. The Bucks passing game, passing defense is not optimal, which is very scary going against the Saints. But at the same time, I'm kind of thinking, like, Drew Brees is past his best by date. I think that, you know, taking out how the teams played against each other, if you look at, you know, the season Tom Brady has had so far versus the season Drew Brees has had, I think it's clear that Tom still has, you know, has more left in the tank than Drew Brees. So I fully admit that it's a homer pick, and I fully admit that it's unlikely, but there's just enough hope for me to cling to that the Buccaneers beat the Saints, and that'll be that. Now, what would really be nice is if we could beat the Saints on some questionable call, so that Saints fans can whine about it for the next calendar year. That would just be perfect.
It's been, what, three straight years that the Saints have lost in a fashion like that?
Yes. Yes.
We want to. I can't wait for the congressman from Louisiana brings to the floor.
Of course, and this is exactly what we need to be focusing on right now, is a fucking football game. But
in the middle of impeachment hearings and COVID relief debates, and the senator from Louisiana wants to bitch about how the refs handed the game to the Buccaneers last week, and then that's just what we're talking about now.
All right, so you're picking the Bucs, Mike.
I'm picking the Bucs. Yes,
I'm with you, because like you said, it's very hard to beat a team three times in the same season. And maybe the Saints just weren't up to play the Bears. I don't know, but they just didn't look that good to me. And the Buccaneers, I will say this. I need to point this out. I have lived down here twice now in Florida. I'm 45 minutes from Raymond James Stadium, whatever it's called these days.
Yeah.
I'm still a Browns fan. Never changed. Never even questioned it. I didn't like suddenly go, hey, you know, this Tom Brady thing's not so bad. I'm just saying. But,
join us, Greg.
No. Bring back Jameis and we'll have a discussion.
Oh, Jesus.
Did you make a pick, Greg? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm taking the Buccaneers for the same reasons Mike said, that it's tough to beat a team three times, and the Saints just didn't look good.
Okay.
So taking the Bucs.
Some breaking news. Not that it's really all that important. At the bottom line for ESPN on their pregame show, when they were at commercial, they were showing celebrity predictions for tonight's national championship game.
Oh, God. And
Ric Flair picked Ohio State, Greg.
Hey, I'll take that.
16-time world champ Ric Flair. But, you know.
But the Undertaker took Alabama.
Oh.
Oh. I don't know what to tell you.
He's a long-haul guy.
I will forgive him. He's from Texas, so he's probably more of an SEC guy than Ric Flair is.
Yeah. Ric Flair's from North Carolina. That is more ACC country. So
and Ric Flair is put on the Brutus head, Greg. So
I don't know if that's for you. It just depends. I think it's about 50-50. But Taker, you broke my heart, man.
So for back to the NFL, this
question: did he say Ohio State was going to rest in peace?
It was just funny. A line on the ticker. I didn't.
I'm watching the game on my iPod. There's Corso putting on the I'm like an hour behind when I watch on the iPad.
Of course.
But yeah, he's putting on Bruce.
So.
I have no fucks to give about this game. I just don't care. But anyway, go ahead, Zach.
As a Rams fan, if they do beat the Packers, I would love to beat Tom Brady. I would love to make Saints fans cry. Both of those matchups have something for me. I did not like what the Saints put out there this last week. Same as you said, Greg. Drew Brees. Playing with his 17 broken ribs or whatever he was playing with.
17 broken ribs and a couple of paper clips holding them together.
What the hell are they doing having him, like, dive across the goal line like that? Like, exposing all of those ribs? What are you doing? I think it's close, but I'll give it to Brady and the Bucks.
Now here's what's interesting. I just realized this. If the Bucks can win this game, then we are guaranteed a Bass Bowl in the NFC title game.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because we got a Bass Bowl this week. We got Packers Rams. So.
Well, yeah. Greg has so much focus on the Browns that
this is a fallback plan. Yeah, the Packers are basically. I'll get back on that bandwagon when the Browns are done. I mean, believe me, I'm going to watch and root for them against the Rams. But right now, I'm all in on the Browns.
Yeah.
They look like the Browns again, and now they're actually kind of playing like the Browns that I remember.
It's like I said last night. It's like both the Browns and the Bucks actually were in situations where they hadn't won a playoff game in forever, and both of them went back to like the good uniforms this year, and then they both won playoff games. So,
I will allow you to say that now. Last night, I'm like, they haven't won anything yet. 40 seconds ago,
they were up 35-10. I felt confident.
It was so funny. These guys were like, oh, they've got this in the bag. I'm like, nothing's over yet. Nothing's over yet.
Well, you thought you were like expecting the Steelers to roll out Tommy Maddox and just put up like 45 straight points.
Right, yeah. I've been here before. But no, it was a lot of fun. But yeah, anyway, Andy, who you got for the Bucks and the Saints?
Oh well, I same thing with the Chiefs and everything. I will pick the Saints, but I think the Bucks are the better team and will probably win. But I'm picking the Saints merely as a Hail Mary to try to get back into this game, make it a contest.
Are you the only one that's picked opposite of the rest of us in any of these games?
No. So the let's see. So we all picked. Rams Packers, you were the only one to pick the Rams. We all have the Bills, and I'm the only one that chose the Browns, and I'm the only one that chose the Saints. So basically just throwing caution to the wind here and hoping something.
And then last week, we all thought that the Titans and Bears were going to win.
No, Zach chose the Saints. Zach.
Oh, okay.
I could not, in my right mind, pick Mitchell Trubisky.
Well, if you remember,
that's
I said that.
MVP Mitchell Trubisky. I'll have MVP, you know.
Right. Show some respect.
You put respect on his name.
I said last week that what the hell was I going to say? There's always the one game that messes up the whole plan, and I thought it was going to be Bears-Saints. Turns out it was Browns-Steelers. Which, okay, I'll take it, but that was what I was thinking.
The thing about that Bears-Saints game, and I really don't mean to keep, like, pouring salt on Andy's wound. I really don't, but it's one of these cases where it's like you guys said, the Saints did not look like they were ready to play last week.
If they were playing anybody else, they would have lost.
Yeah, and I was watching this going, like, Bears, do the bare minimum, and you will win this game. The bare minimum. But well, they couldn't.
The deal with the Bears is that they often drag – not only do they play down to their opponent's level, they'll drag opponents down to their level to where – like last night's game was not an anomaly. Like many, many games of the Bears' past two seasons have been this sort of this slog of bad football, not entertaining in any fashion, just crap. And
so you're telling me that the Bears are Bart Simpson, you know, the cone of suckitude.
Essentially,
like the black hole that just drags everyone else in the vicinity down with them.
Yeah, sat around all day today waiting to get some news about the Bears, like doing anything with their front office or coach or anything, and nothing came across. So maybe tomorrow.
Do you think they need to get rid of everything?
I don't know. I've got a completely open mind about it. Whatever they do, I don't. I don't know.
Here's what I think. No, go ahead, Mike.
I was going to say, do they extend Mitch Trubisky based off of his MVP performance?
No, I think both sides of that coin mutually dislike one another. And I think Trubisky wants to be out of Chicago, and Chicago wants nothing else to do with him. I mean, it's one of those situations where if they got along better, if there was like any actual progression, maybe they'd, you know, work something out. But actually, they're both sick of each other. And Trubisky wants a fresh start. And, you know, the Bears have been like Leonard Floyd and Adam Shaheen have gone on to other franchises and had pretty, you know, reasonable amounts of success. And I don't know. The Bears, they're just exhausting. And I don't care, you know, what happens, whatever they do, they'll probably fuck it up. So
if you had to rank the three things that they need to change, like between QB, coach, and GM, what do they need to fix most?
QB, GM, coach, in that order. I mean, the Bears' plight is always for a quarterback. If you have a quarterback, it solves a million other problems.
Right.
You have a quarterback.
But I guess my question was more to figure out: do you put any of this on Nagy, or is he just the victim of circumstance?
I mean, everybody's complicit when you're mediocre. I mean, it takes you have to try real hard to be mediocre in the NFL, and they pull it off majestically. There's as many. Like when you talk about Mitch Trubisky, especially if you review a lot of film, people are just perplexed because he does as many bad things as he does good things. He does these great plays, but then he does amateur plays. And same thing with the Bears organization.
He's perfectly balanced, as all things should
basically
be.
Yeah, and I mean, the more things change, the more things stay the same with the Bears. I would imagine there'll probably be some big shakeups announced tomorrow, and people will be like, "Oh yeah, blood for the blood god," and all this stuff, and nothing will come. But they'll hire another Jagoff and draft another shit quarterback. And
speaking of guys that got the boot, what are the Eagles doing?
Well, so here's what I read.
I am so happy that this happened, by the way, because fuck him punting in overtime.
Well, so what they said was
Super Bowl 3 years ago. Yeah, you say it, Andy.
Well, so basically all I read was that he didn't want to listen to anyone. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. He doesn't want to answer to a general manager, to a football czar. So they fired him, and I think it was more of an agreement to part ways, but I mean, ultimately the Eagles were like, all right, but they had to choose between him and Wentz. And they chose Wentz kind of because they have to, because his contract is a fucking albatross.
They chose Wentz, huh?
Well, I mean, I think they had to. I think Peterson was probably forced his way out the door because a lot of people were saying.
Is anyone checking the BBTV suicide watch?
I haven't paid attention to that thread.
Well, what's the YouTube guy?
Pussy Eater 93 or whatever it is.
Really?
Eat pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah, eat that pussy 445, I think.
He's like this crazy guy that posts Eagles stuff.
He has 2 million subscribers.
Yeah, he's fascinating.
Yeah.
Every time I think we've reached peak stupid, I just realize we're not even close.
My wife just walks in the room and gives me this horrible look like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
That's why I didn't say it out loud.
No, it's all right. It's all right, babe. I'm just talking about Eat That Pussy 445 on YouTube. He's a Philadelphia Eagles fan.
I got to ask, who wakes up in the morning and goes, that would be a great screen name. That would be awesome, right?
No, Greg, if you look at the guy, you'll understand that like, oh, this is a guy that doesn't really care much about anything other than apparently eating that pussy and the Philadelphia Eagles.
God.
Those are his priorities. Yeah.
pretty much. Am I wrong?
Jesus Christ.
It's the internet, baby.
Yeah. look at our listeners all have normal, I mean, they're, you know, so I don't understand some of them, but none of them are offensive. Their name, the Chaos Blast 1000 is a great name. Wampin Island is okay. Tracy 21, you know, Michael Walker. Well, Michael Walker, that's a pretty weird name. I'm just kidding, Mike. but yeah, it just, you know, who wakes up and says, yeah, you know what? I've been working on the screen name, and I think I finally got it. And then he goes with that. Well, come on.
I mean, it works, though. I mean, I haven't watched a video from that guy in years. I don't know much about him or the Eagles, and all of a sudden. But, I mean, if you say, who's that big, loud dude who screams about the Eagles and his name is terribly offensive? It's like, oh, I got it. Eat that pussy. I'll never forget that shit.
Eat that pussy, 445.
God almighty.
But the funny thing is, the best part is that clearly somebody else had already chosen that name. So he had to add some numbers to the end of it. It had to be a suggestion by Google to be like, that name's already taken. It just picked up adding some numbers to it.
Oh,
you're was thinking, but how about these options? There's Pokey 445. Sure, that'll do.
Why not?
Yeah. No, you're right. Andy. Like, I haven't actively watched his videos in a bit because the only times I saw them was when BBTV would post them in the football threads back in the day. But every time something bad or good happens to the Eagles, I always think, you know, I wonder how he's feeling.
Yeah. You want to check in on him?
Yeah.
Michael, your name is perfectly normal, bro. I was just having fun with you. That's all. Because you're like the normal guy. Michael Walker, nothing unusual about it. It's not spelled weird, is it?
Your name's fine. No. Everything about it is perfectly fine.
Yeah. I don't know if Infrared 41 is a good screen name or not, but at least it's not offensive.
It
seems a little original.
Yeah, it's a word with a number. It's fine.
So we got football out of the way.
Yeah, do we have any other sports things that are
well, I mean, the national championship kicks off soon, right? I mean,
yeah, in a few minutes here.
Yeah, but I mean,
started. Yeah,
like I don't think anyone particularly have a dog in that fight or terribly amount of interest. I'm
paying attention, but like Ohio State's not a legitimate contender just because of the number of games. Yes, Chaos Blast. We know the NHL starts this week, but you're not doing that. Right?
Yeah, we got to talk
Everybody
about
knows that. We still have one more thing. We have
miles to go before we can do the NHL. Maybe we'll do a special
NHL will be a very nice palate cleanser next week.
We do have some hockey things to discuss, but I mean, the elephant in the room, and if we had delayed our show by a day, a 2 days last week instead of one day, we would have been discussing it the night of.
We would have been live commenting. Yeah.
So just, politics, you know, warning.
Real quick before we get to this, I'm going to forget what I was going to say. I don't remember.
Was it a sport thing?
Yeah, I think so. It's not important, clearly, or I would have remembered it.
All right.
But yeah, this is if you're a stick to sports person.
I'll probably remember it halfway into the conversation. Yeah,
you'll remember it tomorrow.
Yeah, or halfway into this conversation and completely derail everything. But yeah,
right.
If you like the sick sports thing and you want to stay out of, I don't think this is so much political as it is just like fucked. But just you might
current want to, events.
Yeah,
yeah.
Current events. Strong yeah, because it. I was going to say before when we started the show tonight that in the last week I've seen two things that I thought I would see happen in this country, and the Cleveland Browns winning a playoff game wasn't even the most shocking of the two. And what we're going to talk about is what happened in Washington, D.C. on January 6th.
And it may have just been the tip of the iceberg. You know, I mean,
there's talk now that you know, they're asking people to stay away from the inauguration and, you know, stay out of D.C. And there's talk of, like, you know, going after state capitals in every state and stuff like that. And it's just – I'm the oldest person on the show. And to be completely honest about it, seeing this breaks my heart, to see my country behaving like this. I'm not going to blame – they're idiots. Everybody wants to go, it's Republicans. Well, yeah, I suppose. But these people are just lunatics. And I'm not going to give them the dignity of calling them by a political party because they're too fucking stupid for that. So, sorry, you don't get that. You're just lunatics. You're just idiots that are doing this. And what you expect to accomplish, I don't know. But I can't imagine it working out well. But it breaks my heart. But you guys go ahead and give your thoughts on it.
They were lunatics, but they were lunatics that were clearly enabled by...
Right, exactly.
They are
another lunatic
group by man that gave them, not directly, certainly, but he gave them some sort of marching order that they.
If you guys can't, let's say for just to give this kind of like an analogy to this here. Let's say that I'm the chief moderator on the boards, right? And Mike and Andy and a few others come to me and go, look, we're going to purge the boards of everyone that likes modern uniforms. Mm-hmm. And I go, you can't, I have two options here. I can go, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. That's not the way this works, blah, blah, blah. Or I can just go, well, you know, they're good people, but, you know, what I mean, it's just like you
come on, let us ban lights out.
Yeah. You know, but, I mean, it's a bad analogy, but the thing is that to do nothing can be every bit as bad as being completely complicit in something as well. And I think that's what we saw here. You're loved and, you know, this and that. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, we love you. You're very special. That's what the president of the United States said to a group of people that.
Oh, they're special, all right. They're special for sure. There's no question about that.
Like, well, the thing that I found interesting, at least on my part, is like over the last several months. Obviously, if you're somebody that has differing opinions from your older family members, there was a lot of hemming and hawing, and a lot of discussion, and a lot of angry kind of back and forth over the last several months because of just differing ideologies. Mm-hmm. And what I found kind of interesting, at least for me personally, since Wednesday, is I have not been more clear about anything else in these discussions with them before. We're like, you know, they're kind of doing the hemming and hawing of like, oh, maybe this and oh, they're maybe Antifa, maybe not. And it's like, there is no justification. There is no excuse. There is nothing I will hear that will make me feel better about storming the fucking Capitol building.
No.
When they're certifying the presidential election that you disagree with.
The fact.
Like, I've never been more clear in my focus. And like, normally it's like I really get myself worked up and like amped up of why won't you just listen to facts? And here I just very calmly say they stormed Capitol
building. The United States Capitol building.
But what about Portland and Seattle and
I've actually come up with
and I say that's not the U.S. Capitol building.
No, and you know
Portland
what?
Here's not the U.S. Capitol.
And my argument with that too is that you cannot sit and call for law and order when things are going on in Portland and Seattle and what's that little town in Wisconsin? Kenosha, and places like that. You can't go, where's the law and order? What's going on here? And then turn around and go, well, this is different. This is okay. No, the laws don't change with the cause. The cause don't change the laws.
Well, clearly there were 70 million people that think that this is wrong.
So if I can address that, if I can address that, because that is one of the dumbest things that people – it's like people felt they weren't being heard because your 70 million people think the election was – the only reason anyone thinks the election was stolen is because Donald Trump is a sore loser and lied – to his supporters and told them that the election was rigged. If Donald Trump the day, you know, on the 7th of November when they finally finished all the counting and everyone projected Biden as the winner, if on that day Donald Trump would have come out and would have said, hey, you know, we fought hard, we got the most votes ever for an incumbent president, that's something to be proud of, and we're going to try to win again next time, but I concede, then none of this would have happened.
No, you're absolutely right.
But the only reason it happened is because Donald Trump was unable to take the L, and he lied to his supporters, and as a result, people thought the election was rigged, which is why.
And let's be clear too. It's Donald Trump and his goon squad.
You know, exactly.
It's Donald Trump and Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz gets up there in the United States Senate and says we need to investigate the voting because 75 or 70 million people, whatever, you know, believe
39%
that.
39% of people believe – they believe that because you told them to.
Yeah. And this is where I'm going to get really moralizing, so people don't want to hear that, then whatever.
Can
turn
I mute
off.
You?
Pardon?
So am I allowed to mute you now? No, I'm just kidding.
You
go
are.
Ahead.
Yes, absolutely. But no.
I'm sitting outside, so I can't mute you. So you're on your own, bro.
So the point, my point here, right, is that this, everything about what Donald Trump has done until now, you know, all the way up to today, from the moment he was elected, hell, you could even say during the campaign leading up to 2016, has been acting, he's acted like a dictator. And it's as simple as that. He has the mentality of a dictator. He has conducted himself like a dictator. He has cozied himself up to actual dictators on the world stage at the expense of American international interests. And when Donald Trump and his supporters do this shit where they say, oh, 70 million Americans, 39% of Americans believe the election was rigged, this is what fascists do. This is what dictators do to justify their own hold on power. You know, how do you think Mussolini got so popular in Italy? What Mussolini would do is he would send his goons to harass the political opposition. And then when the political opposition fought back, Mussolini would go, oh, we need law and order. I'll provide my fascist party to, you know, help subdue them. You know, he creates the chaos and then promises himself as the solution. And that's exactly what's been going on with this election. Donald Trump and those who enable him have been lying, sowing doubt, making it so that 40% of Americans feel that the election is rigged, and then they present what they want as the solution. It's the classic behavior of the dictator. And you want to know what else is classic dictatorial behavior? Sending a mob of your supporters to harass the legitimate standing government of the United States. Those people,
and then not calling in the National Guard when they do,
and then not calling in the National Guard.
No, he didn't.
He called him in.
Pence had to do it.
All right. I did not know that.
Pence had to do it behind his back, essentially.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. I want to bring this up before I forget it, guys, because I read this on – I think it was on Twitter or on Facebook. I don't remember. But somebody posted a thing that said, you can't trust the courts. You can't trust the election. You can't trust the government. You can't trust – it was just a laundry list of things you can't trust, but you can trust Donald Trump. And they said, now read that out loud to yourself and think of how crazy it sounds.
I've seen.
And I thought, you know,
even the most ardent Trump supporter
has to look at that. Look, here's my thing. And I want to make this real quick. Like you guys said, like Mike said, had he just said, okay, we lost, it's the way it goes. We talked about it after the show ended last week. We were on for another half hour. The three of us were talking about what we hoped he would do. I was not confident. I've been saying all along, I'm not confident how this is going to end. And I got my worst nightmare came to fruition last week. But if you do that, you do the right things. You do it the right way. If you show just a modicum of class and act like a president for 15 minutes, you know, you've got a shot at maybe you want to run again in 2024. We'll see what happens. You know, but just to do this, to throw a fucking temper tantrum, knowing and no one with any amount of rational thought could have not thought this was going to end this way. If you keep riling these people up like this, it's been stolen. It's rigged. It's that. Maybe it was. I don't fucking know. But the point is that, you know, you've got how many people showed up in Washington that day? Now, not all of them stormed. I mean, you know, just like went into the Capitol with their buffalo heads on and all that. But the point is we just don't do things this way in this country, and it's just wrong. And I don't care if you're a Trump supporter or not. What this did was this crossed a line that should never be crossed. Simple as that.
These people were wannabe terrorists, and
it was an insurrection.
And Mike said they were sent to harass, and I'm pretty sure that a few of them had much more than harassment. They put up a gallows.
They had people in the chambers of the House of Representatives and Congress wearing tactical gear with zip ties. They were looking to take hostages.
And five people died. Most of them, I mean, with five people dying, apparently Republicans have already started to walk this back. And I mean, I'm not going to get into what's happening politically with them too much, but basically when you storm the Capitol and you walk around looking, saying, shouting, where are they? Where are they? Hang Mike Pence. People are chanting outside. If they'd gotten hold of one if they got no Pelosi even or any one of the Congress people that are very left that were or Republicans on the right who they view as treacherous, if they had gotten their hands on even one of them, that mob would have become something far worse,
yeah.
And that day would have gotten far blacker than it did.
I'll be the first to tell you, and I'm no fan of Nancy Pelosi's, but I'll tell you this: if they'd gotten a hold of her, she never gets out of that building alive. There's just no way.
No, they would have killed her.
Happen.
And I mean,
they would have killed her, absolutely.
Or AOC or any of the like, the vibrant names on the female left that are very, very controversial
Mitt Romney or Mike Pence, I guess, for that matter.
In terms of Republicans who they would have killed, you know, it's Mitt Romney and Ben Sasse, right? You know, who have been two outspoken critics against Trump.
And this kind of was started before Wednesday. It's continued afterwards. But, like, say what you will about, the Mitt Romneys or even Lindsey Graham, who's had this happen to him. They don't deserve the fucking harassment that they've gotten since then. Like, yes, is Lindsey Graham a despicable human being? Yeah, on 100 different fronts. Does he deserve to be chanted at traitor, 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 and like harassed through an entire airport and an entire flight? No.
It's cultism.
No one deserves this. I don't care what your political bent is. And this is the problem. And I think that we as a nation and people that we've all gotten, and I don't mean when I say I'm talking royally, not the four of us, and maybe the four of us applies to us as well. I don't know. We've reached a point where we think our views are completely unassailable. Like, we are right and you are wrong, and that is the end of it. And that goes across the spectrum. And it's like, so of course it's going to end like this. And I'm not making any excuses for anybody. What they did, I think I even said when we were texting about it, every person they can identify needs to be tried for treason immediately, because you just don't do this. You don't under any circumstances do this.
That's something else I wanted to say. These people, they carried American flags. They called themselves patriots. These people are traitors to the United States of America. It's as simple as that.
They carried a Confederate flag.
They carried a Confederate flag, and someone wore a Camp Auschwitz T-shirt.
Yeah, that guy's been arrested.
Christ.
These people are Nazis. These people are neo-Confederates. They're all traitors. You stormed the capital of the United States and tried to coup the legitimate government of the United States. You are not American patriots. You're traitors.
Yeah. Yes, they are. Exactly, Mike. I agree.
In the hours during it and afterwards and kind of since, there's been like a hemming and hawing of journalists and others, even my own boss, which I couldn't stand, of like, oh, well, I don't like the word insurrection. They're not insurrection. It's like, no, dude.
Bullshit.
Go look at the definition. I have it. I had to tip it to my computer today because our boss didn't want us to use it, and we fought him against it, and we said, hell no. According to the Oxford Dictionary, insurrection, a violent uprising against an authority or government.
Yep.
That's what that was. And not only that, but they were going in there knowing that they were counting and certifying the votes, going in there trying to get people to change their minds and object to the votes, and knowing the process that's not how – that none of this would have actually overturned the results.
No.
But that's what these people wanted to do, is they wanted to start some sort of process to stop it and retain Donald Trump as their commander-in-chief. And that's
what I said earlier. It was their idea, I guess, was they would get in there and make, we've made our point, now listen to us and change the results of the election. That was never going to happen.
Go
ahead, Andy.
Let's say this wasn't simple protest. This wasn't what there's the constitutional right of free speech, and there's a lot of debate about censorship and everything happening right now because of sites like Parler or apps like Parler getting shut down and Twitter, disbarred.
That's a whole thing. I'll tell you, there's two reasons I don't like that. First off, granted, Twitter's a private company. Facebook's a private company. They're all private companies. So if you don't want – Apple's a private company. If Apple doesn't want to supply Parler, that is their right, and they can do that. My thing is that, you've got this thing with Parler, and I don't really know much about it. I signed up for it because, I like to keep my feet in both ponds so I know what the hell's going on. And I don't even understand it. It's nothing like Twitter. I don't get it. but
it's a place that seems for the most part to be just letting people on the extremist right talk about how much they want to kill liberals and Democrats.
You don't see that. I just don't see it where that gets anybody anywhere. You know, I mean, because I'll tell you what, every single one of these people has a liberal friend or a liberal member of the family. Do you really want to kill them? Is that really what you're going for here? I don't believe it is. But the problem I have with this is that, is it a free speech thing? No, because the government's not doing this as far as I know. So no, it's not. Right. If your problem is that you don't right. like Twitter,
people don't understand how the First Amendment works, so they like to cry yeah. free speech.
But well, it's like another one of Donald Trump's goon squad, Josh Hawley from Missouri.
Oh, he
took my book deal away.
They took his book deal away. He cried and said it was a First Amendment violation and it was Orwellian. And the best response.
Somebody said, yeah, but Orwell got published.
Yeah, that was the best response I've seen to that.
and Holly, this fucking asshole, he's like, oh, the woke mob. What a word to use the day after what happened.
The woke mob? What, you mean the mob of MAGA supporters who, you know, drove you into a secure hiding hole? Like,
you know, ESPN needs to apologize to Adrian Wojnarowski. Because if you remember few months ago, Josh Hawley's like PR team sent out some PR release, I guess, just saying like they were decrying the NBA for like kneeling and all that shit. And Woj just replied to that email just saying "fuck you" and got a week long suspension. And it's like, no, you know what? If I saw Josh Hawley on the screen, I'd say the same thing.
Yeah. Well, I see. That's the thing, though. I think that, you know, the rancor amongst all these people. It's just. And I don't, you know, I don't think that it's like that with everybody. I mean, I can have a discussion with somebody that has different political views than I do, and we don't fight and argue and holler and stuff. But man, you've got like I said last week, you've got these fringes on both sides. They're frothing at the mouth for a fight. And when the president comes out, no, there are. It's
I think it's. I mean, it's contextual, and this is not apples to apples. I mean, there's not. I get where you're coming from. There's a lot of arguments from the right that are saying, or from centrists who are saying, you know, if you're going to be outraged at, you know, violence and uprising and angry crowds, then you need to have it be equal. The definition needs to be equal. But this is different. This is not a group that was essentially unleashed without police, with a minimum of police presence for several hours to attempt to take over a federal institution. Is not the same as a societal racial epidemic of police brutality and a societal fucking poison that needs to be addressed and remedied. I do not think that looting and damaging property and hurting people is at all the way to go about it. I don't agree with it. I don't think anyone would necessarily support it. There's a lot of people who, you know, cheer when, you know, people get hurt, but like nobody should get hurt in these things. I mean, that's the whole point of peaceful protest. But go ahead. No,
what I was going to say, you know, it's like I said, it's like, you know, and look, I don't think the people that are causing all the problems in like Portland right now have a thing to do with the racial injustice. That's not what they're about. I don't know what the fuck they're about. They just want to fight. That's fine. It's not fine, but that's their gig. And you've got these Trump people that are just like, we just want to fight. Well, none of us want you to fight. So back into your corners. But I guess what I'm saying is that if you're going to claim yourself as a patriot at any point along the political spectrum, then you fucking have to act like one. And what you did in Washington, D.C. was anything but patriotic.
Exactly.
If the German government or the, I don't know, the where African Hitler's from, if his government's holding the Capitol and you go in, that, now you're a patriot. That's a different story because we've got an occupying force. But you don't go after your own. Look, we have systems in place for this. It's called voting.
That's a thing.
If your candidate didn't get enough votes, I say the same thing I said to the people, to all of us back when Hillary lost. If you can't, you didn't get it done this time, go to work today to make sure it doesn't happen again.
The other thing of this, though, this isn't like these people did this of their own volition. They all didn't just say, hey, we're going to go do this. They had their big rally. And at this rally, you have Donald Trump's personal lawyer, quote unquote, Rudy Giuliani, suggesting trial by combat. You have Republican Representative Mo Brooks saying we need to go kick their ass. You have Donald Trump Jr. saying a whole bunch of shit like we're going to go get them. And then you have Donald Trump saying we should march to the Capitol and let them know I'm going to come with you. I'm going to march with you. We're all going to march to the Capitol.
And then he did.
He went back to the White House and watched it all unfold on TV.
I go back to the same question. To what end? What were you hoping would happen here?
Well, so who are you asking? Who's the you that you're asking?
The people that did this. What were they hoping would happen?
I think they were hoping for blood. I think that's ultimately what they wanted.
They got it.
They either themselves got shot or they killed a cop. They beat him to death with a fire extinguisher.
So spare me.
You had, at the front of these like marching lines where they were trying to break through the police, there was like Blue Lives Matter flags. And when the police shot tear gas canisters back at them, they said, "You're supposed to be on our side." Like there's video of people being this.
No, they enforce the law, you fucking morons.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's the delusion, but like we talked about, it comes all back around to the beginning of what we said, to where it starts with leadership. And if Trump had worn a mask, if he just even in public just wore a damn mask and just said, "Yeah, wear a mask, it's fine," we'd have probably less than how many hundreds of thousands of people have died now.
360,000, yeah, something like that.
A ridiculous number. It politicized a fucking piece of fabric. If he had just simply, gone about with the minimum of dignity and grace and just sort of like
a halfway decent human being.
He would be reelected.
Yeah,
he would be. I don't think he'd be.
I don't think he would have gotten reelected.
I think he probably would have. It would have been close enough to make it interesting. But not that I'm rooting for the guy, but I'm just saying, like, if you put in the fucking minimum of decency and dignity, even conceding defeat.
Like I said, act like a president for act like a president for 15 minutes. Try it out. See if you like it.
Here's the other thing that we're dealing with too. Kind of like we had said before, if he had just conceded, none of this would happen. And now this stuff has happened, they're trying to get these impeachments through. Who knows if they get through? They're talking about the 25th Amendment. They're trying to do things to make it legally impossible for him to ever hold an office ever again.
Yeah.
And if none of this had happened, he probably would run again in 2024. And he'd stay away. Who knows? But now they have to take these extra steps to make sure that this crazy cult that has popped in this country doesn't ride through another 4 years and try to get this guy back in the office again.
And just to tell you, so you know, in the last probably half hour, Trump did issue he declared a state of emergency in D.C. and it will last from tonight through the 24th.
You know what? While we're doing that, can I declare a state of emergency too? In 2005, there's going to be a hurricane coming along to New Orleans. You guys might want to figure something out.
The thing about it, which made all of this so, I guess, me trying to find the enjoyment that I could find in what was a pretty fucked up situation, was
Buffalo Man all the way.
I mean, Buffalo Man, or I think it was Dead on the CCSLC was like, "So how did everyone like the latest episode of 24? And I think, what did you say, Greg? A bit unoriginal, but Buffalo Man made it worth watching or something.
Buffalo Man and the HR Puff and Stuff Rejects saved it, yeah.
Yeah.
It was awful.
But like, the day after Trump comes out and is like, "I'm really sorry, guys. These were heinous acts. Like, please don't impeach me." And it's like seeing the Trump crowd have to deal with that has been enjoyable. But it's just fucked up. And I think at this point, what needs to this whole situation, whole MAGA thing, like it needs to be, I don't want to say go away.
Hello?
Mike?
You can't start locking people up for their political opinions, but, the Republican Party, and it falls on the Republican Party to do this.
Yes.
They need to take a really hard stand and flush it out of them, flush it out of their ranks.
do a deep dive.
Well, you know, pick. I mean, if there's any, just like any salvage, if there's anything that's good to be used out of it, then use it. But get rid of the garbage, you know. And it, as much as I mean, I was a doomsayer from this from like back in October. I'm like, this isn't going to end well. It isn't going to end well. I was so hoping I was wrong, but the. You just can't have.
I don't think we thought that this was.
This is what I worried about. I was worried about armed conflict, to be honest. So actually, it's not quite as bad as I thought it would be.
But like at the actual Capitol building, like at a government building.
I wasn't thinking in terms like that. I knew that my bigger concern was the inauguration than the January 6th at the time, because I thought when they're going to show up and they're going to be. I don't know. You know, like when the 2000 election, I think a few people threw eggs at President Bush when he was walking down the street. And that was about the end of it. You go, okay, that's not the greatest thing and you shouldn't have done it. But, you know.
you can laugh at that.
All things considered, you go, that's not so bad.
Yeah, shoe thrown at him. He had some eggs.
Yeah.
Hey, he had really good reflexes of that shoe, by the way. Watch that video. He ducked it like a boss.
That was amazing. He's a baseball player. You know, so he knew what he was doing.
Throw me a beer. Don't throw me eggs. Don't throw me shoes.
Hmm?
But so just on a lighter note, so you see my image.
Yeah,
here.
Right.
So this is a great.
What this was a I think we're getting internet issues here, guys.
Yeah, can you hear me?
You're all right. I was just going to say that what we saw and you know, like I said, I'm a lot older than you guys and it breaks my heart to see it because I still believe in the founding principles of the country. I believe in fairness and decency and, you know, doing things by the rule of law and by the Constitution and all that. And what we got was basically a temper tantrum to the likes we've never seen before. And that troubles me. And I know that it's easy to go, well, they all think like this. But I know a lot of people that are Republicans who are like, this is awful. I can't believe this. They're embarrassed. And it's the whole country should be embarrassed. I'm ashamed. I've never in my life been ashamed to be an American until January 6th. And I was like, oh, my God, what are we doing? Because whether we like it or not, those are our citizens.
It was an odd 12 or so hours for me because Tuesday night I'm watching the U.S. Junior hockey team. And I'm all on my timeline. Oh, USA, this is so great. Look at us, America.
Right?
And I felt like I was being kind of like the typical ugly American jackass. And then, you know, you wake up the next morning around noon my time and this shit starts going down. It's like, oh, I don't feel so good about that. I almost want to go back and delete all the things that I wrote. Hell, the first tweet I had of the day, I retweeted the U.S. jumping off the bench. And I said, it's a great day to be an American because I was feeling so good about that. I was feeling good about the Georgia results. And I was like, this is a great day. And then it quickly was not.
Womp, womp.
I remember you texted. You said the worst is happening in Washington, D.C. Oh, and he's got a Bears or ass thing here to add to the stream. Okay. Oh, wait. No.
Just to clarify my image here. So this is, in my opinion, the greatest picture from the event is just this
is
random
that
apple.
Getty?
That's Getty Images there.
By Getty, someone else. Yeah, somebody online was saying to caption what was going on here, and the best one I saw was who else wants their dick sucked? That was the best. I don't know what was happening, but I love that there's like this drooling froth coming out from his mouth. And, I don't know. It just cracked me the fuck up.
Just trying to find some sort of humor in it. I quite liked the one with Nicolas Cage stealing the national Declaration of Independence.
I am no longer impressed by stealing the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah,
let's be honest too. The guy in the buffalo head, where he was in the center of the picture, was the people around him. It looked like a promo shot from a really bad sitcom. And it cracked me up. I'm like, I shouldn't be laughing here, but what the hell else can you do at this point?
And he's been arrested, the QAnon shaman. And I've got to say that, like,
QAnon shaman, fuck you for even like appropriating my culture like that, you asshole.
A thing came out today where he's been arrested, according to his mother, who talked to a reporter. He hasn't been eating because the jail refuses to give him organic meals. So,
well, life goes on.
But the thing that I've taken a little bit of Shatterfruit in, and it's been, you know, maybe it's a bad look, but I think it's warranted. I get a little tick of joy every time I get a new news bleep of, hey, you remember that guy who put his feet up on Pelosi's desk? Well, he's been arrested.
The videos of people being arrested at the airport are just, oh.
Oh, yeah. It's like, they're calling me a terrorist.
Again,
like,
but I go back to the same point. You are a terrorist. You're a domestic terrorist. It's that simple. You're an insurrectionist. Read your Constitution.
There were so many videos of these people that, like, after they do the whole thing, it's like, okay, well, we're done with this. Let's go back to the hotel bar and have a drink, and we'll just go home, and everything's hunky-dory. It's like, no, dude. You did one of the most I can't even find the right word. The most
you did something that hasn't been done in over 200 years, and the last time it was done, it was a foreign country that did it.
The most egregious act on U.S. soil.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was saying earlier.
Since the War of 18. By the way, just to say it, us Canadians, we were involved in that whole thing in 1814. Hashtag no regrets.
It was a tie.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, God save our great. Okay.
you damn monarchist.
But yeah, no, like, you stormed the capital of the United States. You are a terrorist. You're a domestic terrorist. That's what you are. God.
Oh, I'm sure it's one of those situations.
Direction. I don't know if there's a – go ahead, Andy.
I say the lack of, like, clarity as far as these people's delusions was with that one poor woman from Tennessee where she was – crying because of tear gas and trying to use her onion to get the tear gas remedied, and saying,
why were you there? It's a revolution.
That's it. That was the plan. Well, yeah.
They pushed me out and maced me.
Pushed me out and maced me. Yeah.
You see the Animaniacs thing too.
Great.
Like, again, probably like darkest day of, I can't say the 20th century or 21st century because that still includes 9/11. But, like, you know, it's on the short list of, like, made – like, this will – somebody tried to compare it to, like, saying Day of Infamy and all that. Nah. This will go down as one of those it's not the same thing as a Pearl Harbor or 9/11, but, like,
no.
Nobody's ever going to forget us. It's on that list of terribly bad things, but it's gotten – I am kind of – I'm optimistic, and I'm kind of pleased that we've been able – it seems like the majority of people have been able to take this the right way, if that's the way to say it.
Most people have been, like, utterly, like, appalled by what happened.
Yeah, I mean, conservative liberal alike, yeah.
We're exactly. Not just all sitting here, like, wallowing in our, oh, man, these are dark days.
No, and,
we're trying to take the high road on this, and we're coming out of this with memes and crap. We'll try, and I hope that doesn't mean that we're going to, like, try to get this behind us as fast as possible. I just hope that's – we're trying to be good, and we're all going to be better together going forward.
The best thing about if there is a best thing about it, is that the Constitution held, the Republic stood – And that's important because that, you know, I mean, it could – the thing that gave me chills down my spine was when I read an article from some foreign correspondents or foreign intelligence people who were saying that Trump actually had some – not clearly not enough, but some military and State Department people in his pocket on this thing. Now, look, we can't prove it, and I take it with a grain of salt because they were all anonymous sources, but – word is out there that this was actually an attempted coup.
Yeah.
And there's not just a bunch of yahoos coming over the wall. It was like, you know, there was like
I mean, that does actually make me feel better because if this was a planned attempted coup, it was so haphazardly pulled off that it's like we're not dealing with 4D chess here. We're not dealing with masterminds. If this is the best that Trump can wrangle together, then.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. You know, if you're gonna pull off a coup, you can have a couple military advisors, but you need a part of the actual military to help you pull it off. And I'm sorry, but a bunch of dudes coming over the wall with flags and taking pictures of themselves in the rotunda at the Capitol, probably not going to get it done. And it infuriated me. I was just angry watching them walking through the rotunda of the Capitol of the United States of America with their arms raised up like, hey, look at us, and taking pictures of themselves and shit. I'd have shot every one of them if I was there. I really would have. I'd just like, that's fuck this. I don't care what happens.
The whole bullshit of like, we put country first. It's like, no, you don't.
No, you don't.
You don't. You walked into that fucking building with Confederate flags. You walked in with flags that had his name on it before he had and the don't tread on me flag. And the American flag was kind of like a tertiary thing. It was kind of there. It was around.
It was like their alternate, basically.
Right. It was like the fourth or fifth alternate. Like the America just happens to be where the Trump revolution was taking place. But anyone who thinks like to reveres Trump for anything, I mean, this is a morbidly obese, foul, selfish, entitled, narcissistic piece of human shit who wouldn't spit on you if you were on fire. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about anyone. He just wants what he wants when he wants it. And all he ever knows is when people is the group of people, the hordes of people who all declare undying loyalty to him. And now a lot of them are gone because they have nowhere to talk. They have nowhere to congregate. And all they're doing now is making these big hollow threats about these marches that are coming up on Washington and stuff. But you know what? There's going to be National Guard. There's going to be police there. Nothing's going to happen.
Try that shit now. Try it now when there's going to be 15,000 National Guards in D.C.
You know what else? I don't know. Call me crazy, but I think that maybe the Capitol Police opening the door and going, you can't come in here, but come on in. Maybe you shouldn't do that either.
No, you know? 100%. Like there needs to be some sort of investigation as to how this was allowed to take place.
That's what I'm talking about.
There's clearly a lot of failures there.
What I'm talking about foreign intelligence agencies, though. They're saying, like, look, there were some people that were in on this.
No, by the end
and
of
you
the
know
month,
what? They need to be tried, too.
Yeah. By the end of the month, Biden, I'm sure, will appoint a few people to do a commission about this and get to the truth. But, I mean, I don't I don't know what is going to happen this week. Nobody wants to predict anything. But I think that, like everybody kind of said, we're lucky we got out of that with just a really horrible bunch of property destruction and a few unfortunate losses of lives. But
they beat a Capitol cop with a fire extinguisher. These aren't patriots.
Yeah. No, none of
and they're not Blue Lives Matter people either. Come on.
Yeah.
And again, I will say something that like strangely calmed me by the end of the day, because it was clearly a crazy day. But I was able to stay up and watch the full Senate.
You watched the whole thing?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, no, I did too. I watched right to the end.
And look, you know, regardless of how you wanted it to come out, the fact that we were able to still do that
right
was what I mean. The Constitution held, the Republic held, and that point.
They committed to get back into their office, and they committed to finish their work, and they did it, and they counted it, and it was all certified, and everything. You know, the country was kind of back on course at the very least. It wasn't delayed to the next day. There's not going to be a bunch of hearings. There's no more talk about it. They got it done, and the election was over that night as it was supposed to be that day.
I'm still
feel a lot better about kind of the whole thing, really.
My hope of hopes, and we talked about – you and Mike and I talked about this quite a bit after the show last week about how we hoped that he would just go, hey, you know, just do something – calming, and we almost had ourselves convinced that he actually might do it, and then it was just anything but that. And you know, and here's I guess a question I have too. Let's say for a second that the coup does work and he gets to stay in power. Okay, you didn't just save the nation, you ruined it. You've done the one thing that we've always been proud of that you can't do in this country, and that's like overthrow the government, you know, and you did it. Okay, now what? Do you think if I – even if I were a Trump supporter, do you think that I would stand for that? No. Because, I put the country first, period. I don't care who the fuck's in office. And I would have been like, no way. Uh-uh. Now we come for you. You know, I just don't understand what the plan was.
The military would have taken that building back in a couple hours. And,
a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Believe me, it was a horrible, horrible thing. It was a horrible day for the country. But you know, like Zach said, if you want to take anything optimistic out of it, it's the fact that by the afternoon or that evening, they were doing the business of the Congress again, and that to me is remarkable.
Yeah. And they got back to doing the business of the Congress, and they were able to label, you know, a bunch of congressmen that we could now target over the next 2 years in terms of voting them the hell out of office. Yeah.
Breaking news, by the way, the Onion reports that D.C. police have preemptively deployed 3 officers for Inauguration Day. So
good, on top of things.
Yeah, but these guys aren't just going to open doors. They're going to actually try to stop people.
Yeah, well,
and those pictures of people hanging off the walls at the oh my god,
dumbasses, dumbasses.
Yeah, you know, and it's just.
Did you guys see the Super Mario Brothers theme with the people climbing?
No,
there was a guy that had blue overalls with a long red T-shirt underneath, so he looked like Mario, and they had him doing like the doot 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 as they're climbing. But as he got to the top, he went to reach. And he lost his grip and fell all the way down that wall. And that's when they played like the Mario death sound from the original, the doo 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 doo. That thing. Mm-hmm. It's pretty.
There's a lot of good names in that port.
He probably broke both of his legs, but no.
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing about all this stuff is that, you know, we've gotten really good at finding comedy, not us, but in the country in general, at finding comedy in just about everything. So that's good, I guess. That's never a bad thing. But
another thing that's, you know, in the wake of all this, it infuriates me, but I guess is kind of expected. All the rats jumping off the ship here in the final weeks.
Yeah.
Going in their reservations. Screw each and every one of you. You were
what? Right
this. The rats jumping off the ship. All the people in the West Wing resigning every other day. It's like, no. You're complicit in all this too. You don't get to just leave.
I hope that a lot of the, you know, lawmakers who are either new or remaining in office that are leaning right or are far right either come to their senses or just stick with it. Because I feel like a lot of them are posturing very heavily now, but it's all starting to bend back. Like they're all going to arc back towards the mean. We'll see. I mean, the next week is going to be probably very tumultuous. And who knows where we'll be when we meet up on Monday night next week. But let's hope we don't have to, you know, hash out another bunch of bullshit like we did for the last hour.
Well, yeah, here's the thing, too. I just want to add this. You can be a hardcore leftist. You can be a hardcore right-wing person. You can do all these things and not have to be insane about it. You know, you can be – if you want to be like a far-right, arch-conservative or a far-left whatever, arch-liberal, okay, fine. You know, and – there's no need to just be that. You don't have to like, if someone disagrees with you, well, just either agree to disagree or, you know, try to find some common ground. But for fuck's sake, there's no need to like load up the pickup truck, put a bunch of fucking Trump flags on it, drive to Washington, D.C., and go over the wall of the Capitol. That's just dumb. It's stupid. And you're not a patriot when you do that. I don't know if any of you are listening, and I'm sure we've got Republicans in the audience and we've got Trump supporters in the audience. I'm going to tell you right now. None of those people were patriots in any definition of the word, period. That's it. They weren't. Yeah. And in the story, that's it. It was awful. It was awful, and we should all be embarrassed. All of us, from the left all the way over to the right, every one of us should be embarrassed about what happened that day. And most the good people are. And that's it. And that's all I got to say about that, as Forrest Gump says.
I feel like that's probably a good enough way to end the show, and I hope next week we can talk about Brown's victory and celebrate America
again. That would be glorious. And I will try to be more optimistic this time after winning. These poor guys. I mean, I gave Andy a run for his money with my negativity, I think. So.
No, that's all right. I'm just...
I get it. You were. It's been a long time for the Browns to have any success. Yeah. And then not only that, but the Steelers did start to score. So it's like there very could have easily been a situation of, oh, no.
But you know what, though? I think about it now, though, and I think, you know, okay, the Browns, usually, like, when they lose the Jets game, you go, okay, that's where the wheels came off, and they go right down the tubes. But they didn't. They played a game against the Steelers that should have been a lot easier than it was, but they still managed to pull it out. They didn't give it away. Then in this game, it's like, here, a Tennessee game was a good example. They came out gangbusters in the first half and then held on for dear life, but they still won. And then last night, same thing again. We came out gangbusters. Here we go. And then we have to hang on for dear life. But you know what? Instead of blowing it, they won. Things are different now. I don't know. Too soon to tell. So
hopefully next Monday we can also be talking about the Thunder Bay Bolts taking down the Toledo Gold Diggers in the first week of CHL play.
Which one of your defensemen did I steal this year? I know I got one. I can't remember which one.
Oh, you. God, let me look. You. I swear to God, every year we do this hockey draft and we get to like the third round and I'm like, oh, you know what? I need a defenseman. Oh, there, this guy. He's like a couple slots down. He's not the obvious pick. So
right.
Maybe he'll still be there for me when I get there. And sure, goddamn enough, Greg will be like, oh, defenseman, me like, and pull him right underneath me.
We must like the same style of defenseman or something. I don't know.
It was Ivan Provorov.
Yeah. Flyers. Well, because I was looking at the other ones and I saw him. I'm like, no, this is my guy here, man. This is him. And and then I'm hoping that nobody else picks him. I'm like sitting there going, okay, hope no one else sees this.
That's all right. Your punishment was then drafting Anthony D'Angelo. Let's call him the right side defenseman for the New York Rangers.
He's my MAGA. What did Mike say? Make Toledo great again?
Yes, make Toledo great again.
I had no idea. I had no idea he was that guy.
He deleted his Twitter over the weekend in solidarity with the president. So
okay. Oh, no. Well, you know, real quick point on that. You know, okay, fine. You know, you're all private companies. Do what you want. But do you really want to drive these people underground where nobody can see them? That's my thing.
I'm taking that chance myself.
I don't know. I'm just saying. But the free speech thing, that's like, that applies to the government, kids. Doesn't apply to anything else. That's all.
I'm okay with it because let's not give them the biggest platform available. Let's spread them out.
I do think that it's getting a little I don't know who they're banning and why.
I know a lot of QAnon people have gotten banned, which good riddance to.
Yeah, you know, I don't know that if you're just a conservative on Twitter or Facebook or whatever that they're going to ban you because you happen to like, I don't know, Ronald Reagan or whatever. But
they're not just banning conservatives. They're banning the people that are talking about the dangerous stuff.
That's probably a good thing, but I'd still like to put them somewhere where we can see them. But anyway, yeah. So yeah, sorry about that, defenseman Zach. But like you said, I got it in the end because I had no idea that guy was like that. I'd have drafted him anyway.
He had a whole controversy where like he had a podcast and he was being like very vocal about his views and then like following that up on Twitter and getting a lot of people rankled up because hockey. Surprise! Despite hockey fans writ large and hockey players writ large being pretty conservative. Hockey Twitter is very progressive, so he didn't really mesh well with the NHL fans on the social medias.
Well, like I said, as long as he scores points, he can wear his fucking mega hat. It doesn't matter to me. So, all right, anyway, we're going to wrap it up, guys. We're almost at 2 hours here, so hopefully next week will be a little calmer, and we can talk a little more football, get some hockey in there, and stay away from the political stuff. Although we weren't really political, it was just like, but Christ, and they overrun the Capitol. You got to talk about it, don't you?
Stick to sport.
Yeah, fuck stick to sports. If that was the case, they would have canceled us like 5 shows in if that were the case, man. So
I mean, it's in our name, the supposedly a sports cast.
Right. Basically a sports show.
No, it's supposedly a sports cast because we're in an alternate timeline because the Cleveland Browns want to play up.
Oh, gotcha.
All right, we're going to wrap it up, folks. Follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports. Subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever fine podcasting is sold, also on the YouTubes. With that, we will see you next time, hopefully in a quieter world.
Go Rams.
Bon voyage.
Go Bucks.
All right. Go Browns.
Bears suck.